Good to see you tonight, and we're glad that you're here, that we have another opportunity to worship together. I invite your attention to the Word of God as we spend some time in it. We welcome our visitors. We appreciate that you're among us, and we look forward to spending time as we're able after services, getting better acquainted, and want you to know that your presence is an encouragement to each one of us. I'd like for us to spend some study tonight, some time tonight, in studying the subject of pride. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8, we are reminded that Jesus was the most humble man who ever lived. And he calls upon us to have the same mind that he had. The verse says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And so Christ's humility begins in the mind, as we're told to have the same mind he had. And humility then demonstrated itself in his willingness to make himself of no reputation, that is, to leave the glories of heaven and to come in the likeness of men, to be a bond, take the form of a bond servant. He sacrificed the glories of heaven for slavery, for bond servitude, as he submitted himself to the Father's will, and in steadfastness he did that. Once he became a man, that wasn't all to it. He humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross. And so he fully surrendered himself. But that those acts of humility would not have happened unless first there was in his heart the trait of humility. And so when we talk about the perils of pride, humility being the opposite of that, being a willing an attitude of lowliness of mind that prompts us, moves us, motivates us then to not do our will, but to do the will of God. Now, with that in mind, in Matthew 18 that Brother Ralph just read for us, we are taught as followers of Jesus that we must be humble in heart. In fact, we're to be as the little child. In fact, he says we have to be converted and become as little children. Note that Jesus puts this in the context of who is greatest in the kingdom. We all want to be great, it seems. We all want to think highly of ourselves. If we were to be honest with ourselves, we think pretty highly of ourselves, generally speaking. But you see, Jesus says for rank and position in the kingdom, it's one of humbling ourselves. He sets that example. To humble ourselves is, in this one, he says, like a little child. A little child's not interested in fame and glory, not interested in position. The little child is innocent in heart, and humble in spirit. And Jesus says that's how God defines greatness in His kingdom. Verse 4. We have to humble ourselves as this little child to be great. He says that's the one who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so, if we cannot and refuse to humble our hearts and therefore humble our lives, then we will not have a position in the kingdom of God. We have to admit of the challenges of struggling with pride in our lives. Truth is, the danger of pride is that it is self-deceiving. We talk about examining ourselves, whether we're in the faith. Now, I wonder how many of us, when we examine ourselves, say, "Well, you know, my problem is pride." Anybody do that? My problem is pride. I don't imagine that's really the first thing that happens when we start examining ourselves. That do we even think about the issue of pride? And yet, I'm convinced that the thread of pride runs through practically every sin. When we start investigating the nature of sin, pride and a thread of pride, not exclusively perhaps, but there's a thread of pride that runs somewhere through that sin. We define pride as we will in a minute. You see that it is entirely worldly. It is putting trust in oneself and in the flesh, not in God. You know, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You say, well, how can pride be in the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh? Well, isn't it there when we think it's our right to fulfill that desire? Haven't we elevated ourselves to an undue position? Haven't we acted pridefully when we think it's that we deserve that lust of the flesh or that lust of the eye? And there again, there's at least the threat of pride in any of those things. It's a deceiving sin. And it's perilous. It's dangerous. Pride is the exaggerated regard of oneself. It is thinking too highly of ourselves. If humility is lowliness of mind, pride is the elevating of our mind, of our thinking within ourselves. In Romans 12 and in verse 3, the Word of God talks about this nature of pride. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt a measure of faith, he says, to each of us, and so we are to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We're not to elevate ourselves in our own estimation. That's the danger of pride. We hear men talking about having a good self-image and self-esteem. And I suppose that's all fine and good in its context, but we need to be careful and cautious because pride exaggerates. It's a swelling estimation of ourselves. And the problem is it doesn't stop there because then it looks down on others. See, the result of when I have a swollen attitude toward myself and my self-worth and my self-importance, then I begin to look somewhat conceitedly or haughtily on others. And it results, pride can result in rude, disrespectful, contemptuous even, attitudes and conduct and words toward other people. All from thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And these are the things that we want to contemplate, meditate upon tonight, and realize that if I'm being rude to somebody, for example, in my life, where's that coming from? Is rudeness a trait of the fruit of the Spirit? Being disrespectful to somebody, is that showing the mind of Christ? Or is it not rather a result of a prideful heart somewhere along the way that thinks that it's okay to treat someone that way and with that feel justified? That's what we want to discuss, at least in part, as we try to make some applications. I mean, we want to know how all this affects us and how pride affects us, among other things. Not only does it affect our relationship with God, but it affects our relationship among each other. It affects the home. It affects at work. It affects really any relationship that you want to discuss. Pride can intrude and really cause a problem. And for example, even in Philippians 2, I mean, that whole context is talking about the relationship of brethren with each other. That we're to have lowliness of mind, we're to have the mind of Christ. A refusal to do that impacts in a negative way the church, our relationship with one another. So pride is deceiving. It is the elevating of ourselves. Very unlike a child, as Jesus said. And remember, unless we be converted, that is, unless we change, if those are our attitudes, then we won't enter the kingdom. We won't be great in the kingdom. We will be lost in sin because, you see, we must be humble as He, as our Master is humble. So, as we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, examining this issue of pride and ourselves in reference to it. Pride is defiling. Of course, we understand that is its very nature because it is sin, the opposite of the humble heart. We're taught, and the Micah said, we're to walk humbly with our God. One who is proud of heart is not walking with God. Mark 7, 22 and 3 speaks of those things that come from the heart, among which, among other things, he says, is pride and foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Pride is the way of the world. It's the those things that are opposed to God. We mentioned this a minute ago from 1 John 2 and verse 16. Pride denies the power of godliness because it has a worldview that is self-centered. Think about that a minute. Now, how do we view our world? Does our world revolve around ourselves? I'm talking about our day in and our day out, day in and day out life. Does our world revolve around ourselves, or do we humble ourselves and understand that in every relationship of life, while there are responsibilities, there's also advantages. There's also blessings and responsibilities, and there is a give and take in any relationship that's going to necessitate some humility on our part. Because if we're always the proud person, we always have a higher estimation of ourselves than anyone else in the room, our relationships aren't going to be very good. They're not going to be very good. Let's go back to Genesis 3 and verse 6. I suggest to you that Eve was tempted by the devil to have a wrong worldview, to see her world in the wrong way. Has God said that you cannot eat of any tree of every tree of the garden? Of course not. He had said they could eat of every tree except one. But he impugns God. He lies about God. He tempts her by saying, "You'll not die. God knows you're going to know right and wrong when you eat that fruit. You're going to be like Him." And so verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she ate the fruit. And she gave it to her husband, and he ate. Her worldview was changed as she yielded to the temptations of the devil. Rather than viewing God in supremacy and in His love and in His provisions, she began to think more about herself. And that temptation, that one fruit there that God said, "Don't eat that." She started thinking about that, "Oh, I'm hungry after all. What's the matter with that? I'm hungry. I can eat that fruit." Well, she elevated. See, that's pride elevates herself above what God has said. Her view of God changed. Her view of herself changed. She became more important than God in that moment, than God's Word in that moment. And in her pride, she sins against God. See, that's the nature of pride. It is defiling. It defiled her. It separated her from God and from the good blessings of the garden, and brought consequences of physical death and pain and childbirth. All of those things subsequent to that, she died that day and spiritually. And consequences led to physical death as well, as we know, continuing to be detailed there in chapter 3. Pride is driven by lust, by a desire for a variety of things. Maybe it's attention. Maybe it's acclaim from others. The desire to be elevated in some way, somehow, I begin to look at the world as if it all centers around me. Now, that's destructive. That's destructive to a friendship. When one friend is, they're always right and it's always their way. I mean, who wants that kind of friend? Always put you down. Always kind of be rude or disrespectful to you, and not really give it really much worth to what you have to say. That's because you see they've got it all figured out in their head. Well, that's not going to be a friendship for very long. It destroys marriages. Pride is a huge problem in marriages. One and or the other, or both, allow pride into their heart to a point where it sometimes seemingly impossible to say, "I was wrong, forgive me, I'm sorry, I repent." Because you see, pride puts us in a position of our view of things that we're not wrong. My desire to be right overwhelms any desire to humble myself, even if I am right. Jesus was right, wasn't He? Jesus do anything wrong? Jesus was right, completely right. And He humbled Himself before sinners. And we have trouble humbling ourselves before that one person that we said, forsaking all others, I'll be yours and yours mine until death parts us. Now think about that. Yeah, pride. Pride is the way we view things because it's the way we view ourselves. It's an overestimation of ourselves and leads to destruction. You see, it develops in a heart that has turned to evil and to unbelief. Let's read a little more of Mark 7. We referred to it earlier. I want you to see here now just a bit more. Jesus says in chapter 7 of Mark in verse 21, really 20, or yes, 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. And he goes on, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed, come from within and defile a man. Well, they come from a heart that is more interested in self than interested in God. More interested in estimation of how I view my world and my standing in my world than not only God, but of course the people around me. Pride produces strife and shame. Let's let the Word of God teach us in Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Pride is at the root of strife and the shame that comes from that. Proverbs 13:10 says, By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now you know, we have two choices in trying to deal with strife, at least two. We can try to solve it with wisdom and righteousness and humility, or we can spin it out of control with pride. By pride, pride's going to just produce, going to engender, going to strengthen strife, contentiousness. I mean, we know, don't we? Pride is not going to solve a problem. Pride is going to enhance it. It's going to defile the harmony of the home, the unity of a church, the relationship in business between a worker or workers and employees and employers. In any relationship, pride is going to cause strife. It's associated with shameful. Proverbs 11 and verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. When we finally come to ourselves, and finally have to admit myself to ourselves that we're the one, the pride has brought shame. Now, when we finally are able to admit we're the one that generated the outburst, we're the one that generated the strife, we're the one that introduced the problem into that relationship, in the home, in the church, on the job, then we have to come face to face with the reality of pride and the sin of pride and the shame that it causes and the strife that it produced. And so to repent of such things is to reshape our heart into humility, into lowliness of mind, thinking of others better than ourselves, Philippians 2 and verse 3. That's the challenge of overcoming pride, is that we count others better than ourselves, because you see, that's just not what pride does. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 3. Pride, as it produces strife, it often reveals itself in rudeness and cruel speech. Proverbs 14 and verse 3 says, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. You see, pride is not thoughtful of how its words affect somebody else. No, pride takes pride that it's straightforward. You know, it's blunt. Even to the piercing of a heart. Even to the hurting of somebody else. It justifies itself. Pride justifies itself in rudeness and cruelty. That's sinful. That displays a heart that's not right in thinking of others, but only of oneself. That's the danger, that's the defiling, that's the insidiousness of pride. That it reveals itself in how we treat others. And perhaps with no thought of it. We need to think about it. We need to realize where that comes from. Where such rudeness and cruelty, such strife comes from. It comes from the wrong view of the world. A self-centered view of the world around us. And we need to change that. We need to humble ourselves. We need to develop the mind of Christ. We need to think, become as little children, that we might have the right standing in the kingdom of God. Pride is deceptive. It's deceptive. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Galatians 6 and verse 3. The nature of pride is that it causes us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. More confident in our attitudes. More comfortable in the conclusions that we have drawn. Not because they're in a thus saith the Lord, but because they're mine. Because I feel them. They're my emotions. They make me who I am. And pride in its deception hardens us against a careful and probing analysis of how I think of myself and of others. It deceives us. You see, it deceives us as it prevents us from viewing others as better than ourselves. Again, I come back to that point because it's so relevant to how pride manifests. Pride manifests in our words, in our values, in our conduct, in our treatment of others, that invariably raises itself above others. Maybe not spoken, but in our head we think it. And maybe it's become such a point that we don't even hardly think it. But that's just the way we cruise, you know. That's just the way we do things. It can become such a part of us and take over our heart. And so and defile the man, as Jesus said. So it's deceptive. In Proverbs 6 and verse 17, isn't it curious that when Solomon says there's six things that are an abomination to God, or six things that God hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to Him, the first thing he says is a proud look or a haughty look. The very first one on the list is this elevated view of others and treatment of others. Pride, in its deception, will not see the redeeming value in others. It will not see. It will always value itself more than somebody else. What it's feeling, what it's doing, what its objectives are, it's always going to be on a higher plane than anybody else. Now, let me illustrate that from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 13. The wise man here writing this psalm does. The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, he says in Proverbs 30 and verse 11, there's a generation that curses its father and that does not bless its mother. There's a generation that's pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. Now, what would cause a generation to curse its father and not bless its mother? Impurity, verse 12, impurity of eyes, filthiness of heart and conduct, and loftiness of eyes. That is arrogance, pride. That rather than acknowledge and honor the father and bless the mother, it values itself on a higher plane than those. And that's the nature of pride. There's pride coming out. It's haughty in its treatment of others. And we feel justified in it. That's the problem. Pride feels justified in its treatment of others. It's pure in its own eyes. You see. And yet, with such conceited treatment of others, it shows itself to be arrogant pride. Romans 1 and verse 30 talks about violence and pride being joined together. Romans 1 and 30 says that these who have refused to have God in their knowledge, and so they fall farther and farther into sin. They are, among other things, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. The violent and the proud. Once more, is the haughty disregard, disrespect shown to others. Romans 12 and verse 16 will specify. Romans 12 and verse 16 says that we're to be the same mind toward one another. Now see, here's the deceptive nature of pride. Pride says, no, my mind, the way I think about things, that's right. My thinking's right. Yeah, you can think that way if you want, but what I'm thinking's right. And it's going to shape and mold everything. You see, no room for the possibility of adjustment, of change, of error. Oh no, pride doesn't allow for that. Here's what pride does. It sets its mind on high things. But we're told, don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Frankly, we've got to come to the point where we realize we just don't think as much as we think and think we know. We don't know as much as we think we know. We need to humble ourselves and accept that possibility, that reality, and we need to not be conceited. That's really what he says. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Don't be conceited. That's sin. That's pride. It's deceptive because it thinks that we're justified in what we're saying. Job felt justified and wondering, why is God doing all these things to me? God, why are you not being righteous toward me? I'm a righteous man. And then God begins to explain it to him in Job 38 and verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Job was talking about things he didn't know. Things he had no knowledge of. He said, and that's what pride leads us into. Pride convinces us to start acting upon things and as if we have knowledge when we very often don't. Prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. You see, it's the problem with pride is it not only elevates us above other people, it elevates us above God. It raises us above God and what He has said. That's the real and ultimate danger of pride. And God, once God explained it to him, Job repented in sackcloth and ashes. He said, I have sinned in this. I spoke when I did not know. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job 42 and verse 6. That's the answer to pride, is to repent in dust and ashes. Can't get much lower than dust and ashes. We need repentance demands humility of any sin. And so often pride stands in the way of repenting. When we know we've done what's wrong, we know we've sinned, but pride stands in the way. It deceives us. It begins to convince us that we know something that justifies that in some way. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 3, that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge standing by itself, standing alone, it puffs up. It produces arrogance. Leads to arrogance, but love edifies. Knowledge standing alone tends toward the arrogant treatment of others, a prideful display. Love, on the other hand, coupled with knowledge, what's true and right, God's will, that edifies, that builds up. And so we're warned against being puffed up toward others. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. You know, there's a lot of things said about pride in the Proverbs. Pride and humility. Proverbs 21 and verse 24 said, A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. He identifies the individual here. He has become self-deceived in his attitude of himself and his treatment toward others, never recognizing or acknowledging or understanding that his sinful treatment of others is a result of pride within himself. When we sin against one another, brethren, we need to acknowledge that part of what we need to work on is pride. Is our own pride. Pride leads us to strife. Pride leads us to this haughty treatment toward others. Rude and condescending and disrespectful toward others and toward God. And so we need to understand it so we cannot be deceived by it. And thirdly, pride is destructive. Here's one of the more familiar proverbs to us. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, that's an interesting statement there, an application of verse 18, there in verse 19. Pride leads to destruction. We're going to fall if we are driven by a haughty spirit. And it's better to simply have a little, but be humble, than get into a wrangle with the proud person over the spoils, over the material things. Let the proud have what the proud demand. Let's be the humble ones. Let's yield in humility, because after all, those things are not going to matter a bit. What matters is being great in the kingdom of God. Pride brings many people down. And I'm going to sidetrack right now, because I suspect right now in a debate going out all around our country, pride is bringing two people and many more people down. Pride. The inability to truly repent, to blame others. Politics is full of it. But brethren, the church is too. And homes are too. Our families are. And we have to get real with what pride does. Maybe we think we can't do anything and affect anything about the politicians. But I'll tell you what, we can affect something in our own homes. We can affect something in the Lord's church. And it begins with us. It begins with each one of us. A haughty spirit is going to destroy humility, lowliness, the ability to acknowledge our fault, our sin, and then rectify it in a godly way. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. What's going to produce honor? He says humility. But humility comes before honor. People seek to be honored and want to be honored in life. You just have to seek the exact opposite. Don't be seeking the honor. What Jesus saying? You go to the feast, take the low place, right? Don't go and set at the high place. Take the low place. That runs against the grain of pride. We want people to know we're important. Pride is destructive. It destroys how we ought to view ourselves. O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own way. See, the proud are determined to go their own way. The proud person, he's got his head set, or her head set. You know, and it's destroyed. It destroys. Strife comes from pride, remember? It convinces us we're always right. Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And how true that is to the one who's engulfed with pride. He's always right. He can't be wrong. And so you quibble and you fuss and you argue and Because you can't be wrong. You got to be shown to be right. I'm right. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said there about those who were going, brethren, who were going to each other to court among brethren because of disputes. Among other things, he said, why not rather take the wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? Pride will not take the wrong. Pride will not be defrauded. Pride will not humble itself to do that. But we have to if we're going to be like Jesus. He took the wrong. He was defrauded, wasn't he? Lied about. Crucified. He shows us how. It's not easy.
We have to fight against pride.
We have to eliminate it in our hearts. Because pride takes us downward. Pride is not... doesn't take it, help us press onward to the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No, it leads us to the downward call of the depths of hell. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. 29, 23 in Proverbs. It says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. There again is the idea. Honor comes with humility of spirit. Pride drives us downward into despair. It simply will not deliver what it offers. Pride destroys a proper view of others. It's the self-righteousness of the Pharisee in Luke 18. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, adulterers and extortioners. I do all these good things. You know, I pray, I fast twice in the week. I do all these good things. He was self-righteous. He counted in himself that he was righteous, and he set all others at naught, it says. Well, that's a demonstration of pride, of self-righteousness, of an overestimation of himself. And the tax collector stood afar off and beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, Jesus said, rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Pride exalts self, and it will bring us down. It'll bring us downward. It'll bring us low. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. We have to value others. Jesus said, whatsoever you would that men do to you, do also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. But pride devalues others as it elevates our own estimation of ourselves. And it destroys. It destroys our relationship with God and with others. Look at Matthew 20 and 28. Pride does not serve others. Pride is not in the serving business. It's never learned. It doesn't learn how to serve someone else. How to assist someone else. How to yield to the well-being of someone else and act in their well-being. No, it's all about being served. It's all about self. Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That's what Paul is emphasizing when he said, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being found in the likeness of a man, humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He came to serve. Pride doesn't serve others. If we want to get serious about examining our hearts about pride, then let's have an honest discussion with ourselves about whether we serve others. What are we doing in service? Is that an attribute of our life? God expects that of us. Do you serve your husband? Do you serve your wife? Do you serve your children? Or are they in your way? Do you serve your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ? Or are we servants? Do we help those in the world see godliness and righteousness and the Word and will of God for the salvation of their souls? What do we do as servants? If we're not about serving but being served, pride is destroying us. Pride is destroying us. You see, finally, pride destroys our respect for Christ and for His Word. Because after all, if we're going to estimate ourselves more than others, then really, even though God may have something to say about how I treat others, that's really, I'm not going to give it a whole lot of stock. Oh, I may give it some lip service for a while, but to really make that who I am, that not so much. You see, because pride prevents that. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine that accords with godliness. In other words, if we don't consent to the sound words of the gospel of Jesus, he says that person is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions and useless wranglings of men, corrupt the mind and destitute of truth, supposing that godliness is the means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. He describes men here who reject the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, because they're proud. If we reject the Word of God in our lives, that's pride at work. That's pride at work. When we know what the Word of God is and we just reject it, we're proud. And we lose our souls in that pride. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 and verse 9. God's judgments are right. We need to humble ourselves to them. Otherwise, pride will destroy our respect for God, our respect for His Word, and it'll destroy our souls. Pride is destructive. Pride is defiling. Pride is deceptive. You see, the proud, go to Luke 1 with me, Luke 1 and 51. Mary, the mother of Jesus, said something about God and the proud that draws our attention to her there in Luke 1 and 51. Mary said of God, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The proud conceive of themselves of doing great things, of being these great and mighty people. But God scatters them in their imagination and the dispositions of their hearts. They come to nothing before God. Proverbs 15 and 25. Solomon wrote, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the boundary of the widow. The lowly, but the proud, He'll destroy that house." You see, that if we trust in our own hearts, we're going to be scattered. The foundation will not endure. God will bring the proud to answer. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5. Verses 5 through 7. Let's close by looking at that verse. 1 Peter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7. The Apostle Peter said, "Likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders." You know what's at work when the young person doesn't yield to and obey the older, respect the older person? Pride. Pride's at work. He says, "Submit yourself, young people, to your elders. Yea, yes, and all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Really, every one of us are to be submissive to each other. And when we're all submissive to one another, thinking of others as more important and better than ourselves, God gives us grace. God is our ally. God is the one sustaining us now. Now we're the ones that are being like Christ, but He's going to resist us if we don't clothe ourselves with humility. Therefore, verse 6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You see, pride exalts itself right now. But the humble trust God that He will exalt us in due time. Remember Luke 18? "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbles himself will be exalted." Let's live the humble life, a submissive treatment toward one another, being humble toward each other, and God will raise us up. God will bring the honor by and by, an honor that reaches into eternity. Then he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, when we don't cast our cares upon God, that's pride at work as well. When we think we can carry all the burden and we don't take it to God, what's that if it's not pride? You see, we've got to submit ourselves to God, to men and to God, humble ourselves to God. He will lift us up and not refuse to cast our cares upon Him. If we do, we're being prideful. We're deceiving ourselves. Grace comes when we are humble. Grace comes to the humble. Proverbs 57 and verse 15. In prophecy, Isaiah talked about humility. Thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity. Here's what God says, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God dwells with the humble. So the question for us is, am I humble before God? Or has pride deceived me, defiled me, and leading me to destruction? All that can be changed. We can submit ourselves to God. We can repent and reform our heart. We can humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. That can begin tonight by becoming a Christian, submitting ourselves in faith to repent and be baptized and be saved. It can start anew for the Christian who has allowed pride to come into their heart. And we'll repent, we'll change our heart and replace humility where before there was pride. If we can help you respond to the gospel call, won't you come while we stand and sing?
Have thine affections and nail to the